is 23 points higher. More details, srnnews.com.
Salvation is not just being a good person. Salvation is not just saying, well, I hope I've done enough good works where it's going to outweigh the bad works, and one day I'll go into heaven. That doesn't work that way. Listen very carefully. Salvation, God thought it. Salvation, the Holy Spirit wrought it. Salvation, Jesus Christ bought it.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies, again, gentlemen, again, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Today, we're talking about a wonderful theological, doctrinal, biblical subject that many people fail to grasp, understand, and to inculcate in our lives and thinking, biblically speaking. What is God's foreknowledge? What does it mean? We have Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps with us today, and we're talking about that. Men, before we get to the other questions about this issue, I'm looking at a writer. One writer said, God promised to bless future people through Abraham, Genesis 12:3. God told Moses what would happen with Pharaoh, Exodus 3:19. Through God's foreknowledge, the prophet spoke of the coming Messiah. Then to give the list of verses, Isaiah 9 and Jeremiah 23. Through Daniel, God made known the future rise and fall of the kingdom. And we could go to many, many other texts that would point that out. But I want our listeners to understand today, and ladies and gentlemen, any questions you have in relationship to God's foreknowledge and what you have perhaps been told in some theological circles, God's predestination. You see, there is a thought today that permeates multitudes of denominations, crossing all denominational lines, and that is the misnomer, the false theology, the false doctrinal teaching that before the foundation of the world, God decided who's going to be saved and who's not. It's as though you'd line up 1,000 people and God would say, you, I'm going to take to heaven. You, you're going to hell, and you don't have any choice. God created us in His image. We're volitional people. We make the choice. We make the decision. And as Dr. Davis said earlier, it's when God through the Holy Spirit is doing the wooing, God through the Holy Spirit's doing the drawing, that we say, yeah, but it's a volitional decision that will say yes. And now, we were talking just before the top of the hour news break about Romans 8:29. And in Romans 8:29, let me read that again. For God, because whom He, speaking of God, did foreknow, He also, that is, He foreknew, He knew in advance when we get saved, the same time we get saved, He is predestinating us to conform to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, I recall there's a DVD that when I'm teaching hermeneutics in the classroom of the college, when I'm teaching hermeneutics, I talk about context, 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 context. I also teach a class that is dispensationalism, talking about the different dispensations down through the Cardinals of Time. And we had a DVD. It was called Amazing Grace, 6-hour DVD. and I would show an hour of it and then let the students critique and debate what it was saying. Never forget, I'm not trying to cast stones at a man that's gone on to be with the Lord, but Dr. D. James Kennedy. Dr. D. James Kennedy said, in this text in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he said that's really not proskenosis, that's prosphileo. That's the love in advance. He said those that God loved in advance, he predestinated us to be saved. Now that's simply, ladies and gentlemen, false theology, false doctrine, twisting the words and destroying the integrity of the Word of God. In fact, I believe that it destroys what is called biblical salvation and the volitional choice of man. It destroys everything from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. We need to understand what it is saying. So, Dr. Phelps, if it is not saying that God has chosen some to be saved and some to go to hell, if it's not saying that, again, for the wrap-up of that thought on Romans 8:29, tell our listeners in a succinct thumbnail sketch what it is saying and what it does not say.
I do not see any place where in Romans chapter 8 there is a word salvation that's written in the text.
Right.
That's number one. God is not talking about salvation, but what he's talking about is that God's purpose for believing Christians is that they become like his son, become made in the image of his son. And that's what God is doing in my life and yours if you're a believer. God's purpose for believing Christians is that we be conformed to the likeness of his son, and God works to do that. We do not accomplish that ourselves. God is transforming us, and that work of transformation will continue until the day that we are raised in the resurrection. And so God's purpose wants us to be made in the image of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this, it's the will of God that we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to 2 Peter 3:18 and 2 Corinthians 3:18 as well. But also, here's what I'd like to point out. God also purposes that believing Christians will be conformed to the likeness of his son in our resurrection body.
Yes.
When we are caught up to be with the Lord, we're going to be made not in the likeness of our human father or a relative, but we're going to be made in the likeness of God's son. And we're going to resemble him somewhat in our resurrection body.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that. One of the things, let me jump in and say this. One of the things is we're becoming more and more like him now. That's progressive sanctification.
Yeah.
But one day, as you said, as we stand before him, we will be like him.
We'll be like him.
Yes.
That's what John said.
That's
in
right.
His epistle. In 1 Corinthians 15:49, we read, "And as we have borne the image of the earthly," that's our father, and he actually could be Adam. And those are the two that are in mind in Romans 8:28 and also in 1 Corinthians 15. "As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly."
Mm-hmm.
And that means the heavenly Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we look for the blessed hope of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our physical bodies and translate us into our heavenly destination. And John spoke to that as well. He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like
him." Amen.
First John chapter 3.
That's a good, I like that. We'll be like him.
Yeah.
Dr. Davis, as we look at another text in Psalms 139, it explains, if you'll turn there and look at verses 15 and 16 quickly, and ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 139, verse 15 and 16 in particular, it points out that God foreknew in his omniscience, he knew us while we were still in our mother's womb. Read those two verses and speak to that for a moment, Dr. Davis.
Okay, it says here, Psalm 139, and you said verses
15 and 16.
15 and 16. It says here, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them.
Amen. Talk
so
about that.
Before our family tree ever started, before any of our people ever came into existence, God already knew. He already had a plan for every life. Because he's saying, my substance was not hid from thee. Whatever it took to make me into who I am before I became to be, that was not hidden from you.
That's right.
You already know all about that. And then he said, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, before our mothers and fathers came together and we were conceived in our mother's womb, God already knew.
That's that. Wonderful foreknowledge, isn't
Amen.
It?
You know, I'm telling you, it's so great. So that's what separates him mm-hmm. from being like a human being.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at the book of Hebrews, it says he's high, holy, undefiled. He's separate from sinners. He's nothing like us.
Right.
He even said in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. He explains all of that. So listen, that's a disconnect for us. When we try to put ourselves on the same level, we are no match when it comes down to being just like God, except when we are born again, and like Dr. Phelps said, being conformed into the image of his son.
Absolutely.
That's what makes us like him. So when we go down to verse 16, he said, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. The scripture said we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. God already saw that, and he knew that we were going to be imperfect because, once again, we didn't make the choice before we came here. The choice was made through our father, which is Adam.
That's right.
So when Adam made the choice
to sin,
mm-hmm. all the offspring that was ever born after that, the seed of Adam, were imperfect. But I thank God that since he saw that in advance, he sent his son to correct the problem.
Absolutely.
And gave us a chance. Amen.
Absolutely. You touched on that, so that wraps up with a thought. Dr. Phelps, look at 1 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And just read the unit of thought, beginning with about verse 18. Read 18, 19, 20. Verses 18, 19, and 20. Quickly read that. We'll talk about it in a moment. 1 Peter 1, 18, 19, and 20.
Forasmuch as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, mm-hmm. such as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you.
Talk about that for a moment.
God had a plan, and it didn't involve works, doing what's good, doing good things, doing good deeds, or even joining a church or anything like that. But his plan involved the shedding of the precious blood of Christ for our redemption.
And then him. Then when that happens, when a person does that, read verse 21 now.
In verse 21, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God.
Mm-hmm.
So God has a plan. He tells us about that all the way through the scriptures. And God sent his son to fulfill that plan, to shed his precious blood, in order that we might have redemption from the presence and power and the penalty of sin. And when we believe what God tells us, when we believe the glorious gospel of Christ, then we are saved. God makes us a brand new person, brand new creature in Christ, and we have hope for things to come.
Absolutely. And we'll look at that unit of thought there again. But with his precious, with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish, as Dr. Davis touched on a moment ago, and as I summarize it, Jesus had, he was not a sinner. He had no sin, thought no sin, did no sin, could do no sin, high, holy, harmless, and undefiled. But Jesus Christ had the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. He did not have man's blood, God's blood. He was sinless.
One of the things that I have learned from reading the scriptures, that there is no redemption without the shedding of blood.
Absolutely. Amen. Let's hold our thought there for a moment, Ben. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have our future governor on the line. Paul, go ahead with your questions, comments. We want you to give us an update on where you are in this wonderful race.
Dr. Youngblood, great to be with you. The biggest news of yesterday is the governor came out among all the candidates and said that signaled me out and said that I'd be a really good governor. And so I'll take that as his affirmation that I'm the best one in this race to be the next governor. And we continue to work through the state and continue to deliver our message of leadership. You know, 20 years as a veteran, prosecutor, business owner, Speaker of the House, and the two most successful years we've had here in Florida, and with a vision. You know, we've got a contract with Florida that is much more robust to meet the needs of our state and affordability, taxes, insurance, electric rates, and safety, making sure we're going after bad guys that prey on our children, election integrity, and all the things that are important, health, freedom. All these things are things that we're going to get after in the first 100 days. And so we see great momentum in our direction as people undecided starts to decide. They're deciding for us. And bottom line is, if you want to keep the free state of Florida, you want to go to a guy that was a key architect with the governor and helping to build it, and that's me.
Yeah, Paul, I am so thankful for it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our next governor, Paul Renner. I'm thankful for Paul's testimony of his relationship to God through Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for his open forthrightness. And I don't know about any other person I've ever interviewed, and I've interviewed dozens and dozens and dozens of those running for office over the past less than 100 years, but to be forthright, and I'm not, and Paul, I'm not saying this to build you up before our listeners, but I've not seen another candidate that's willing to answer every question forthright without hemming and hawing and wondering how am I going to answer that politically. You've given clear statements and answers to the questions without fear, without being intimidated of how someone might take it, because it's the right thing. So let me ask you a very clear, succinct question for the benefit of our listeners. Today is the first day of advance voting in our state of Florida. There's, I think, 11 candidates, including yourself. Let me ask you to give one, two, three very poignant points. What separates you from all of the other candidates?
Well, it's experience. I mentioned all. I clicked off military, prosecutor, business owner, running the 500 employees in there in the house. Nobody has anywhere near that kind of executive experience and management and leadership than I have. Two is the results. The governor himself earlier has said that those 2 years are the best 2 years in Florida history when I was leading and delivering conservative win after conservative win. Number three is vision. You know, that contract with Florida, the big vision for the future. And I'll give you a fourth one is I stood up with the governor and then only one of these candidates that did in school board races to get the woke indoctrination out and put common sense conservatives in office, as well as opposing Amendment 3 and 4, anything goes pot and abortion amendments. And you mentioned faith, and I don't speak for others' faith, but I will just say that I'm an unapologetic Christian believer, which means that I know there's a capital T truth, and we can argue over what it is. We shouldn't argue over whether there is one. And as governor, I will consistently speak up for life. I'll consistently speak up on hard things like the threat of Islam in our state and other things that I know to be true. And I'm not going to shy away, as so many Republicans do, because they're afraid of controversy. They're afraid, you know, of their poll standing or whatever it is. I'm going to speak up for capital T truth no matter what.
That's the way it should be. And you saying that brings me to the statement and then question. Some of our candidates said, and I heard them, saying we can't talk about the LGBTQ sodomite agenda that's in the school textbooks. We can't talk about Islam and it being a terrorist organization as Governor DeSantis has already designated them. We might lose the independent vote. Your stand is adamantly opposed to these issues that would harm the state of Florida. I'm thankful to hear that. And I want our listeners to understand that, because from the standpoint of a governor that will stand for morals, ethics, and values, and not just on a political platform to be elected, I'm thankful for Paul Renner and his stand on these issues and confronting them. Paul, our president just signed two executive orders just yesterday, both the executive orders dealing with the birthright citizenship. Where do you stand? What do you say to the listeners and to our state of Florida? How do you stand on that? What will you do? How will you handle that?
Well, I'm with the president on that completely, and I'm disappointed in the court's decision. If we need federal legislation, I would certainly support it as governor. I can't obviously pass anything in Washington, D.C., because I'm in Tallahassee, but I support whether it's legislation or, if we need to, a U.S. constitutional amendment to end that. It's so abused. It's so beyond what any of the founders or any of those who passed the 14th Amendment in the law ever contemplated, I'm sure. But nonetheless, the court has come down on the wrong side of that issue, and I support the president 100% on it. We need to end it.
I'm thankful for that. We need to end that birthright citizenship. Another question that has recently come to the forefront across America, there's about 119,000 Flock cameras, they're called. That's because of Flock Incorporated, which was a company that started out of the state of Georgia, out of Atlanta in particular, and is spread across the nation. We have those Flock cameras across the state, and multitudes of those in some of the states, I don't know about the state of Florida, are destroying the cameras, covering the cameras with garbage bags, etc., because they're pretty invasive. They do facial recognition. They clock the time that you're on the street, highway, where you're going, etc., etc. I could go into great detail. You're familiar with it. So the question succinctly asked, how do you stand on that? Should we continue to allow that in the state of Florida? Is that something that you have no problem with, or do you stand against it? And how do we handle that? Is it, in your opinion, invasive of our Fourth Amendment rights or not?
I stand against it. I didn't mention everything in our contract with Florida, but your listeners can go to voterenner.com, sign up to help us in this last week and a half, contribute or what have you, but they can also see that contract. And in that contract, I think it's under the freedom line. I talk about opposing the surveillance state in all forms. One of those is Flock cameras. And I mentioned specifically we'll ban Flock cameras and their use in the state of Florida, because I do believe it's being misused now and allowing for 24/7 surveillance of law-abiding citizens. And we can't have that. We won't have that when I'm governor.
Wonderful. And I know that you would be interested, you perhaps already know that, in Cape Coral, Florida. They're already now between the legislative body. They're talking about putting the Flock cameras on all the garbage trucks. And their statement, not mine, as the garbage trucks goes through the communities, if they see an old bathtub out front, they know that you must be remodeling your bathroom, so therefore you may not have gotten a permit, and we can go make you get a permit. A roof is being changed, a roof is being repaired, etc. So it's a surveillance scenario. So would the governor have an area of authority if a city or a county institutes that seemingly is absolutely a total open in your face surveillance opportunity for the county? What would you do? How would you handle that?
Well, I would outlaw that as well. Government's supposed to serve people, not control them. And you have too many people, sadly, some Republicans at the local level, they buy off on that thing. I don't know what they're thinking, that that's okay. Americans don't want that at all, and having a little separation between, the government and us and their ability to watch our every move is not a bad thing. And so we're going to make sure to protect the privacy of our citizens. Digital privacy, people stealing your stuff without your knowledge and consent online, all that stuff that we see, we're going to put an end to it and make sure that Florida is the gold standard for freedom.
Well, Governor Paul Renner, tell our listeners how they can help you in these last days to cross the finish line victorious.
Well, follow us on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, X, all those things. If you're on social media, and forward out, things you like, including the governor's statement yesterday, that I'd be a really good governor. That's a pretty strong border, not endorsement necessarily, but a borderline anyway. And so we're appreciative of that recognition from a great governor, that I'm the only one that can really step into his shoes and continue this great state and even make it stronger. and obviously go out and vote. Encourage all your friends to go out and vote. And if they're thinking that they're going to sleepwalk into voting for somebody else because they've heard his name or seen him on TV, make sure you correct them and say, hey, I've heard from Renner, and Renner's the right guy to be next governor. And we see that happening all over, that people that once upon a time were with Donald's are now coming our way, undecided's coming our way. Just get out there and make a lot of noise, and go on VoteRenner.com and sign up to help us with phone banking. We need some people making phone calls. We have a bunch of folks doing that to reach voters and win this thing vote by vote. And if you can throw in 10 or 25 bucks, that's helpful too.
Amen. Well, Governor, we're thankful for you, looking forward to what God is going to do. We will continue to pray for you, and I urge our audience to pray for you, ask God to give the victory, open the doors that he would have opened. Thank you so much for your call. Thank you so much for the update, and we'll be in prayer that God will give the victory, the final say-so. Have a blessed
Amen.
Day, Governor. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor.
God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a couple of minutes for the final thought on our broadcast today, but let me wrap it up two ways. We've just talked with our future governor, whom I believe would be the future governor. I'm thankful for his stand, and I've noticed, ladies and gentlemen, that the things that he's saying that he stands for, several other candidates are mimicking and saying the same thing now. That wasn't what they started out saying. That wasn't their positions. But now, because they see the traction that Paul Renner is receiving because of his honesty and his integrity and what he's saying he wants to do for the state of Florida, others are replicating that. So be sure you see what is taking place and vote appropriately and the way God would have us to vote for a new governor for the state of Florida. We have a little over 22 million people in our state. But ladies and gentlemen, as we wrap up on the thought of God's foreknowledge, let me just simply say this and then ask our men to take one or two minutes or a couple of seconds. Our time is wrapping up rapidly. God's foreknowledge means he knows everything, past, present, future, what you're doing, when you're doing it, why you're doing it. And as a result of his sovereign foreknowledge, he knew that Adam and Eve would say no to his direction, bring about sin. And in his sovereign foreknowledge, he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our salvation. Dr. Davis, a few seconds. Dr. Phelps, wrap us up.
Well, since we have already let you know about the divine foreknowledge of God, choose you this day whom ye will serve.
Amen. It's a good statement. Dr. Phelps, wrap us up.
One of the great things that God tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, is that he has made plans for us to be adopted in the family of God. We are, when we receive God's Son, he gladly accepts us as members of the family of God.
Amen. We become the sons of God, the sons of God. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
You're listening to